We're in Romans chapter number 8, very familiar verse is where I want to start, and then we're going to jump off here and go to a bunch of other places. Romans chapter 8, verse number, you guessed it, 28. The Bible says, and we know, and that's an important word, isn't it? Because sometimes we forget. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I'm glad that I'm saved. I'm glad that because I'm saved, that God knows what's going on in my life. And he's got a plan for everything that goes on in my life. He doesn't create evil things that happen to us, but he allows some bad things to happen to us that he would work out his purpose and his glory. And I found it always works out right in the end. And really, we haven't even got to the end yet. So when I get to heaven, I'll know a little bit more about all those other disappointments that we've had in life. But I want to talk, and the title of the message, if you want a title, it's How's Your Outlook on Life? How's your outlook on life? I want to pray. Father, we ask that you bless. Lord, I need your help. I need your strength. And I know folks didn't come to hear from me. They came to hear from you. And so I pray that you would touch hearts and help us to see and learn something from your word. Encourage us, Lord. We need your help. I need your help. We pray that you'd be glorified through this. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes we see things the wrong way. We tend to think that only the good things work together for good, right? But always the bad things can work together also. How's your outlook on life? Things don't, again, always go our way. We haven't had any problems in our country for the last year or so, have we? You know, everyone's finances are just as good as they were. I mean, elections always go our way, right? Everything always goes our way. No, it doesn't always go our way. And then if we're not careful, we get all down and out and put out, and we don't have to be that way. God's still in control, and he still has a plan. And, you know, a lot of problems are going to come your way, and they might get worse. In fact, if you read the Bible, they're going to get worse. We talk about the end times, and it's not going to get better. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And so we have a God who's just as good as he always was, and so we're still going to be all right. And I'm glad that I've yet to see the righteous forsaken, as David said. You know, we're going to have problems. We might have some financial crunches. Oh, so we can't go out to eat as often as we used to, right? And I remember growing up as a kid, we went out to eat. I remember going to a restaurant as a family one time. That's it. That wasn't a big deal to me that we never went out, just because we never went out. You know, I think we might have gone to McDonald's a couple of times, but a restaurant, you know, a family restaurant, we went one time. And now I'm spoiled. You can see I've gone too many times. But we tend to look at things the wrong way. Lazarus died. Mary and Martha they're pretty upset. They even got to the point where they were going to start blaming Jesus and said, Lord, if you had been here, then our brother wouldn't have died. This kind of seems to me like they're putting the blame on the Lord. Not that we would ever do that, right? Oh, I think we do sometimes. Lord, if and how come you let... we better be careful with that. And too often we start seeing things in the negative, and that's not always going to work out so good. You know, if you're prone to see the glass as half empty instead of half full, you miss out on a lot of blessings. Now, we're all wired a little differently, right? My dad is the eternal optimist. I mean, anything is possible. He's an amazing man. My mom, she was the opposite. It just couldn't happen. And he had to pull her along at times, and sometimes, rightly so, she had to hold him back sometimes. Honey, you can't do that. So they were a good pair together. you know? And now my mom passed away, you know, a couple years ago, so my dad's still raring to go, no one to hold him back, you know, as us kids, it falls on us now. And it might be that way in your home. Maybe there's someone who's kind of sees things always negative, you know? And you get up tight with them, and then you're negative. And it just kind of breeds, doesn't it? And all you got to do is turn on the news. And that's all positive, right? I mean, that'll take, you know, the extrovert and make him, you know, really, really down in the dumps. And so our outlook in life sometimes isn't always what it should be. And as Christians, it needs to be steady. There's some things we need to see the right way. And your outlook will determine actually how you handle some disappointments. So if you're prone to see things the wrong way, I hope that this morning it'll be another reminder. And by the way, some things that we have to deal with, we have to keep dealing with them because we got this old rotten, corrupted flesh. We just got to keep working on it, right? And so hopefully this will be a help and a reminder to some of us. I want to consider some examples about having the right outlook in life. The first one, I want you to turn with me back to the book of Numbers. Numbers, chapter number 13. Numbers chapter 13, the children of Israel sent spies, right? 10 were bad, 2 were good. Get that song going here. All right, in Numbers chapter 13, we pick it up here in verse number 23. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. So they've got this, you know, great, huge cluster of grapes. Man, that just sounds good, right? Huge. And by the way, they weren't, the 10 were bad, 2 were good. They were all good when they went, right? They wouldn't have been chosen if they weren't. And they started out all right. Like, we start out all right sometimes, and then they got seeing something that kind of intimidated them. And they were pretty excited when they saw the grapes. But they got pretty intimidated when they saw the what? The giants. Then we'll drop down in verse 26. It says, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and said unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. So it was pretty exciting. And they told him and said, we camest unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Muscovites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Amen for Caleb's. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Grasshoppers. I think they get over-exaggerated just a little bit, all right? Maybe you stand against some tall guy, you're still not a grasshopper, all right? So they got a little exaggeration going on here. And so I've got a few points. The first one is this. We're talking about your outlook. How's your outlook? What do you see? The first point is this. What do you see? Do you see grapes or giants? Or giants or grapes? We know what they saw. At first, they saw the grapes, but then they got their eyes on the giants, right? And then they missed out on the promised land because they were focused on the giants instead of looking at the blessings that God had for them. God has a plan for your life. He has blessings for you. And sometimes we get so busy looking at the problems that we don't pursue what God has for us because we're seeing the giants instead of the blessings that are associated with conquering the giants. God might want someone in the bus ministry. God might want call someone to preach. God might want someone to do something for him. He said, I can't do it because of this. It could be false humility, but it could also be we're just looking at the giants. We don't have enough faith, and we're not looking at the blessings that God gives, and we miss out on all those blessings because we focus on the negative and fail to trust God and to obey him. Now, I mentioned that we were missionaries to Zambia, Africa. We served from 2002 to 2012. We came back in 2012. I went on my survey trip in the year 2000 to scope out the land, you know. And so we got there, and I'm all excited about going to Africa. Yeah. By the way, when I was in Bible college, I didn't want to be a missionary. And the reason I didn't want to be a missionary is because I figured God might send me to Africa. And then when he did call me, I was excited. Because I did get that thing right with God, by the way. And so it was really exciting to get there. And I was all pumped up. And then we get to this guest lodge that we were staying at. And we were talking to the guy at they had a little, you know, front gate where they rolled the thing across, you know, the big metal gate and you drive through. They got walled fences around. And I was in the capital city. And we were talking to that guy. And he said, it wasn't that long ago, another guy came up here at the gate. And he was, it was armed robbery. And they robbed him and stole his vehicle. And I'm like, oh, right here. Oh, thank you. Okay. And then a missionary friend of mine came and picked us up and brought us down to where we're going to be in the southern province of the country of Zambia. And we go through this town of Monze, which is right next to the town of Chisekesi, which we were going to. He said, oh, yeah, you got to go see this. And so he said, yeah, they had a riot here recently. I said, oh, nice. And so he said, you see that house there? Yeah. And it's all burnt up and destroyed. He said, yes, the mob just went after the house because someone in the house was accused of something. So they just destroyed everything. I was like, nice. Okay, so I get to the house, and then they're sitting around my first night in the house, okay? Could have waited a week or so, and then they're like, yeah, you know, it wasn't that long ago. We had a snake in here, and then it was one of those green mambas, and, you know, those are pretty poisonous. And I'm thinking, you know, I went into the room, I'm looking under the bed, I'm peeling back the covers, I'm looking everywhere, I'm like, You know what I was looking at? I was looking at the giants. And it hit me, and, you know, because I had three little kids. And I'm thinking, I don't know if I want to bring my kids here. This is not a safe place. I don't know if I want to bring my family here. And I was like, wow, this is difficult. And the next few days, we get out into the villages, get into the churches. We get out around the people. And saw the hunger that people had and received the gospel tracts and people getting saved and just the joy that these Christians had. Nothing but the joy that they had compared to a lot of people in America who have everything and they have no joy. And I thought, oh. And that's when God showed me, you're looking at the giants, Dave. You need to start looking at the grapes. And when I started seeing those grapes, I'm like, oh, yeah. And I started having a good time on the mission field. Did those giants go away? No, they were still there. And they'd raise their head back up every once in a while. You'd have to, you know, you have to go after them, try to take them out. So my point is this. What's your outlook on life? Do you kind of see the giants and prevent you from getting the grapes? Don't do that. Don't allow obstacles to rob you of the opportunities that God has for you. And again, I don't know why God led me to preach this message this morning, but that's what we're preaching on, right? So look for the grapes, not the giants. So that's the first one. Let's go with me to 1 Samuel chapter number 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17 is the second one. I want to see your outlook. We're just looking at a couple different possibilities here. The first one is giants or grapes. How about the second one? Cowardice or courage? Cowardice or courage? You know, it's easy to take a stand, right? Get all excited about things of God, right? When you're in church and everybody else is around you. But then when you get out there in the world and you get a little opposition, it's like, I'm a Christian. Right? We'll be in here, amen, you know. And then we get out there, it's like, oh, me. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. Probably never heard about this guy. His name's David. He's found in verse number 20, and David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. So he comes on this scene. They're going to battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Everybody turn and run. I probably would have run too, okay? Although my name is David, maybe not. No. I probably would have been a little intimidated also. Pick it up in verse number 29, and David said, we've never heard this verse before. What have I now done? Is there not a cause? Verse 32, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. David had the same choice that they had. David saw the same problem, the same giant. I know we're still talking about giants, but yeah, he saw the same thing, but he reacted differently. They fled, he fought. Is there a fight that you're having to face right now in your life? Some of them you just don't want to fight. You just want to, okay, forget it. Just let me just let this one alone, right? You know, sometimes it's easier to let the dust settle and let things go on. But there are some things that are worth fighting for. Your marriage is worth fighting for. Your children are worth fighting for. Souls are worth fighting for. And we need to, there's some things that we need to stand up and fight for. Do you tend to run from problems? Or do you tend to face them head on? You know, human nature is to just shy away and let things slide. We shouldn't be looking the other way when people are doing wrong. That's not going to help them. It's not going to help God's cause. We need to look beyond the problem and have some courage. Because if we don't, we'll get discouraged. Discouragement is just the opposite of courage. Did you know that? Discouraged is not just when you're sad. It's because it's a lack of courage to face the battle, to face the fight. And God wants us to fight. And we need to resist the temptation to flee when God wants us to stand and fight. So how do you face things? How do you see things? Are they giants or grapes? Do you face them with cowardice or courage? I think we can all find ourselves in some of these problematic areas, can't we? But we need to get some help from the Lord. I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter number 16 for the third one. Acts chapter number 16 for the third one. Don't worry, we only have 25 of them. No. When I was asking Brother Chad, what time I should finish up. And he gave me a time, and I'm not going to tell you what that is, and you'll hold me to it. But one of the college girls said, about 12:50. So I promise you I'll be done before 12:50. It's not, I think that she wasn't wanting more preaching. She just wanted a longer nap time is what it was. Anyway, if You see which one's turning red, you know who that was. And Brother Chad, I'm sorry, I didn't bring any burls with me. That was a great illustration he had up here. He had burls here and burls there. And I was just like, wow. I didn't bring the burls, but I did bring the girls with us here. Sorry. Good thing my kids weren't here. You know what they would say automatically? That's a dad joke. Tell my son, you're going to be one too, and you'll be telling them. All right, Acts chapter number 16. Here's another one. How do you look at things? Is it with pouting or praising? I don't know about you, but when I have a problem, I'm not always jumping up and down saying, hey, hell, praise the Lord for this one, man. Just had a flat tire. Man, that's great. Yes. Good, man. We just had some thieves jump over the fence and jack up the car and steal the tire. Wow, that's a blessing, you know. Okay. Acts chapter 16, verse 22. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And about that time, I'd be saying, Lord, I was serving you. Why did you let that happen? I know about you, but I'd be inviting myself to the pity party. You've probably never been there. But verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Is it pouting or is it praising? Now, how do you get to the praising part? Well, what did they do before they started praising? They were praying. And that's what we need to do. We start praying and it changes our hearts' attitudes, and we start seeing things the way we need to see them. When we were in Zambia, we were on our way to soul winning one morning, and I was passing a dump truck. It was one of those ones that probably shouldn't have been on the road. And then it decided to turn while I was passing him. And I tried to get back behind him, but I didn't. And we were in a 1989 Honda Civic. And that was no match for the dump truck. And we had a pretty bad accident. So smashed my head, crushed my chest. My wife broke her neck. Let me say, I broke her neck. And broke her wrist in four places. Children in the back seat, no seat belts, and God watched over them. But it was a pretty bad accident, and it took us quite a while to recover. You've met my pastor, right? Okay, so he's come down here and preach. I'm talking to him on the phone probably, it was a few days after the accident, and my chest was crushed, literally. I couldn't roll on my side to sleep for, I think, about 5 weeks or so or something like that. I was in bad shape. I couldn't cough or I'd be in pain. I couldn't laugh. So what is Pastor Dameron doing? He's cracking jokes. And I'm like, And I'm still bitter about it. I guess he didn't want me pouting. He wanted me praising, but I wasn't praising him. When we start praying, it starts to change our attitude. What we need to do is get our eyes off of our problems. I know none of you have problems, right? I don't know you folks, but I do know one thing. You do have problems. And we carry some pretty heavy burdens at times. And some say, you're doing all you can just to get yourself to come into church. You say, I don't feel like going, but I know I need to be there. And Lord, I need something. And that's how it is sometimes. We just need to get in the Word, get into time of prayer and say, Lord, I need some help. I don't feel like being in church, but I need to be in church. I don't feel like reading your word, but I need your word. I need you. Will you please come and show up and help? Paul and Silas, they weren't feeling sorry for themselves. They made the best of a bad situation. I think that's what we need to do. And what happened? They were delivered, and an entire family got saved. Isn't that a blessing? So God used their problem for his glory, and he wants to do the same thing in our lives. And yet, we see it happen, and we rejoice at the end, and then we go through it again, and we're down in the dumps again. Why are we doing this? Why do we got to go through this? So when problems come, just learn to look past the problem. We do that through prayer, and then we can praise and rejoice the Lord. In everything, give thanks. I told you my dad's the eternal optimist. And I'll tell you one thing. I think one of the reasons why, he said, Dave, no matter what, and he's had lots of problems in his life, he said, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. I want you to turn with me to 1 John chapter number 5. We'll see the fourth idea. Talking about our outlook on life. How do you see things? 1 John chapter number 5. This one is, I've entitled this point, is it a pain? Kind of like a pain in the neck. Or is it a privilege? Do you look at some things as a pain or a privilege? Now when it's early morning, it's snowing, and you got to get up and get that bus going, right? And you got to get the bus heated up so that, you know, you get on the warm bus on the Sunday mornings. Is it a pain or is it a privilege? It's not just that, but sometimes we look at God's commands as a pain, and we shouldn't. We see that in 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 2. It says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not what?
Grievous.
They're not grievous. See, love causes us to want to keep God's commandments. Can I be honest with you? Sometimes I don't want to. It's just sometimes I don't want to do some things. And I know God wants me to do them. You say, well, you're terrible. Yeah, now you know what my wife has to put up with. But my guess is you're probably a little bit terrible too. Do you always want to give out that tract? We don't always want to, do we? You knock on the one door, you get cussed out, or you get blessed out, right? And then it really makes you encouraged to go to the next one, doesn't it? It's like, I think we're done now, right? No? No, but God says his commandments are not grievous. That word grievous means burdensome. They're not painful. But yet, they are painful to us. But they're not. It's our reaction to them that's painful. It's not his commandment that's painful. And we don't have to dread obeying the Lord. We need to look at obeying him as a privilege. We think it's going to hurt us. Has it ever hurt you to follow God? It's hurt me a lot when I haven't followed God. I've gotten myself in a lot of trouble when I didn't follow God. But obeying God's a privilege. And we see that in verse number 4. It says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We can overcome. We can overcome the world. We can overcome the influence on the world on our lives. And it's through faith. And it's a blessing to be an overcomer, instead of one who is always getting overcome. We need to stop complaining that his commandments are too difficult or too grievous. And by the way, as parents, we would do our children a great service if when we tell them to do something, we don't let them pout and do it. It's not just the action, it's the attitude that needs to be right when they're obeying. So, well, they did what I said. Yeah, you told them to go empty the trash.
They grabbed the trash.
Yeah, they obey, but there was still something a little bit off there, you know? In my house, there would still have a little problem in the seat for that one. Yeah, we say, well, I don't have enough money to pay my bills if I tithe. You're going to have less money if you don't. And we look at things as such a problem when they're not. I've got another one. You can just look it up yourself. It's in Matthew 8, 23 to 26. It's fear or faith, and I don't really have time to cover that. But let me just say this. Fear replaces faith. In Mark 4, 40, Jesus said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" See, Jesus answered the question in his question. Why are you so fearful? Because you have no faith. We do get afraid. We are filled with fear at times. And the news will try to get us filled with fear. The devil tries to get us filled with fear. The older we get, we should fear less because we've seen God take care of us more times. Yet sometimes the older we get, we still fear more. The disciples had a choice to either have faith or fear. They chose fear, and oftentimes we have the wrong outlook also. How's your outlook on life? I know how it's supposed to be, but how is it? Some people are afraid of dying because they don't know where they're going to go when they die. And I don't know all the folks that come here to this church, but if you're not sure where you're going to go when you die, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's not going to be in a good place. But the Bible says, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." I'm glad when I received Jesus Christ, I received eternal life. I know where I'm going to go. There's only two kinds of people in this room today: people with Jesus and people without Jesus. If you're a person with Jesus, you're going to get to go to heaven when you die. If you don't have Jesus, you won't see life. But another scripture says the wrath of God abides on you. But you can change all that by repenting of your sin, saying, "Well, I'm a sinner. I know it's going to take me to hell, and I don't want to go there, but I'm going to turn to the Lord and ask him to save me." And I'm sure there's someone here that could take the Bible and show you after the service how you could be born again and have a new life. And your outlook on life would change a lot after you get saved. Let me tell you that right there. And those of us who are saved and we still struggle, praise the Lord, we got his word. We can get right back into it and get our mind all straightened back out again. We can be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And I hope that's what we'll do today as we've been here in church. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, I thank you for your word, and I pray that something that was said would have been a help and encouragement to someone. I don't know the burdens, the heartaches that are represented here, but no doubt there are some. And Lord, I pray that someone would have received some encouragement. And if there's someone here that's not sure where they're going when they die, they can't have a very good outlook on life because everything's seen through the wrong view. It's not seen through eternity. So I pray, Lord, that you'd meet each spiritual need. We ask this in Jesus' name.